It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, what's today? What, Wednesday? Yeah, I think it is Wednesday. Here's what we're talking about today. First segment, we're going to be starting off with some MLB stuff. Red Sox lost 3 in a row. Is it time to panic? I don't think so, but we'll be talking about that along with all these scores from yesterday and all the other storylines to cover. Second segment, we're going to be talking about the Vikings. Vikings kind of, I don't know, I was thinking about it today. Are we overrating them at all? So we'll be talking about that for the second segment. Third segment, we'll get into some NBA stuff. I guess some Big Three stuff also. And then for the fourth segment, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So let's get right into it. Red Sox started on Monday, a four-game series, I believe it is, with the Cleveland Indians. Cleveland has kind of been the forgotten team in the AL. Obviously, everyone's been paying attention to the Astros since they're reigning world champs. The A's are probably the best story in baseball right now. Red Sox off to a hot start. I think they're on pace for, 115 wins? And then the Yankees, I mean, they're the Yankees, so they're always going to be in the headlines. But then, like I said, there's the Cleveland Indians, and no one's paid attention to them. No one's talked about them. No one, I'd say, even cares about them. And that might be a good thing for them. They seem to have the Red Sox number in the playoffs the last few times that they've met. But looking at it, I mean, this was a big series for Cleveland, I guess, just to get that recognition. And they've taken the first two of this four-game series against Boston. Boston right now losing 3 in a row. Yesterday they lost to the Indians 6-3. Nathan Eovaldi, his first two starts have been great. Last start, meaning yesterday, wasn't so hot. He gave up 4 run runs, didn't even get through 6 innings, only struck out 2 and walked 1. I mean, looking at it, Mookie Betts went 0-4 yesterday. Moreland went 0-3. Kinsler went 0-3. Wasn't necessarily a good day. The Indians were pretty much had that game wrapped up from the start. So Cleveland's playing well right now, but like I said, is it possibly time to worry for the Red Sox? No, it's not. I think this is what, their first 3-game losing streak since April, I think. I mean, Boston has been on way too hot of a streak throughout the season. Like, they haven't had one bad stretch, I'd say. And I think maybe they could be hitting that bad stretch, but either way, I don't really see them getting, like, going into a slump where the Yankees catch them or anything like that. Maybe they'll lose again tonight. Who knows? But either way, I wouldn't say, like, this is anything to worry about. I'd still say that Boston is the best team in the league still. I mean, they have 9 more wins than the second best record. They're currently 80-39. There's no reason to freak out about this team. And like I said, it's baseball. Every team is bound to hit a slump. The Yankees hit theirs after getting swept by Boston, then they got hit with the injuries. They're still kind of going through injuries. I'd say the Yankees had done well, though, to manage through that. So, Yankees hit theirs. I mean, the Astros are currently, 3-7 in their last 10? A's didn't really start off too hot to start the season. Mariners have been in a bit of a slump lately. So, I mean, every team goes through it. Right now, the Indians are just on a hot streak right now. They're 9-1 in their last 10. 1-3 in a row. They're a good baseball team. They had a good rotation. Kluber, Bauer. Got a bunch of good guys out there. So, I don't necessarily think that the sky is falling for the Red Sox. But the Boston media won't tell you that. And the Boston media, I think, is ridiculous. I mean, they hate David Price. You got your guys out there who gloom and doom about the Red Sox. I mean, Boston media, I guess. It's ridiculous, but it's also hilarious. So, I don't really expect this to be a problem. Let's see who the Red Sox got going up tonight against Cleveland. Actually, I think it's Brian Johnson going up tonight. So, they could lose four in a row. I mean, Brian Johnson isn't necessarily the guy you want going up against the top team in the AL. Indians got Carlos Carrasco. Yeah, I'd say that. Indians should be favorites in this one. I think tomorrow, though, if I'm not mistaken, the Red Sox got David Price going. Let's check that out for tomorrow, which is going to be Thursday. Again, if this is a four-game series, which it is. So, yeah, we have David Price versus Adam Plutko. So, maybe Boston could sneak away with a win tonight. I'd say Cleveland ends up taking it. I just don't really trust Brian Johnson, especially going up against Carlos Carrasco, who's pitched well this season. Tomorrow, I'd say, is maybe the one where the Red Sox pick it up. Because David Price been pitching well. I think they're, what, 15-2 in his last 17 starts. David Price also, I mean, you look at him. He hasn't been the most well-received player in Boston. Hasn't been so bad to where it's at Pablo Sandoval levels. And what I mean by that is, the city of Boston and Red Sox fans absolutely hate Pablo Sandoval. It's almost hilarious. I mean, Pablo Sandoval literally went up to that team, got paid millions, nearly, what, $100 million? I think he got like 5 years, 96, I think. Is that the contract he signed with the Red Sox? Didn't do a thing. Was out of shape. I mean, let's not forget that one plate appearance in Toronto where he took a swing and his belt buckle broke. I mean, if there was ever a at bat or a swing to, how do you say, represent his time with the Red Sox, it's that one. So, but David Price, like he said, he's not at Pablo Sandoval levels, but he's not well appreciated there. And I've never really understood it. I mean, I get the guy's making, what, $30 million or whatnot, 33? But I think he's done fairly well for the Red Sox. And I see a lot of fans saying, well, yeah, he's pitching well this season, but what about the playoffs? I'd say David Price has done pretty well for the Red Sox in the playoffs. I mean, last year did come out of the bullpen, but he did his job and he did it extremely well. He was basically unhittable. He's only had one postseason start with the Red Sox too, I think. And even in that one, I don't think he was too bad. All the other bad postseason starts were with Toronto or his other teams. I don't get what that has to do with right now. But like I said, Red Sox fans, Boston fans in general, for being real here, do have a sense of entitlement. They don't think of themselves as just fans. Basically the teams owe it to them to win ballgames and win championships. And I guess I get it if you're a fan, but you look at it, it's really not that serious. Like, I get you want your team to win, but like I said, the sense of entitlement, it's not very great. Not at all. But I guess that's just Boston for you. Well, let's see, looking around, let's look at some scores from yesterday. I think we had the A's winning yet again. And Chris Davis hit another home run, if I'm not mistaken. And that guy's been on fire. He's tied with J.D. Martinez right now for the league lead at 38 home runs. So, yeah, he had his 38th home run yesterday. Brett Anderson pitched for the A's also last night. Shut him out. A's ended up winning that one 6-0. Let's take a look at Brett Anderson went 7 innings. Only gave up a hit, 6 strikeouts, I think. Yesterday, or not yesterday, but the day before, on August 20th, I can't remember who started that game. I think he only gave up one hit, too. The A's have been on absolute fire right now. And I'm trying to take the A's serious, but for some reason, I can't. I just feel like this playoff disappointment or wild card disappointment is inevitable, and I don't want to. I like the A's. I like watching the A's. I like going to O.co Coliseum to dump, but there's kind of like it's kind of weird. Like, it's terrible, but it's kind of like, you still like going there. I don't know. It's different. It's got a different atmosphere there. Maybe it's just completely empty and you could pay like $5 for a ticket and sit behind the dugout. But either way, I mean, it's not, I don't know, there's something about O.co. And they are basically giving away tickets at this point, I think. I mean, I think yesterday they only had the attendance of 11,000. The day before, attendance of about a little over 9. I get that the A's fans are, I guess, trying to send a message to ownership. And the message is that you keep trading away our stars every time they develop. What's the point of us even coming when we know what's going to happen? And I get that. But there's a point where the A's are doing something pretty special. This team seems a little bit different from, I think, what was it, the 2012 team and 2013 team that made the playoffs and played in the wild card games? This team does seem different. I mean, you got Matt Chapman, who seems like he's going to be the next star coming out of Oakland. I mean, he'll probably take the Josh Donaldson route. Let's see, he plays third base also. Oh, Oakland. Poor Oakland. You got Chris Davis, who, I mean, is absolutely mashing the ball. Doesn't really hit well for average, but the dude's hit 38 home runs this season, and you're going to take that either way. Last night, he went 2-for-4. Olson's played well. Steven Piscotty, I mean, guys like that. Steven Piscotty, wasn't he with the Cardinals before? You don't really expect guys like that to play well. Marcus Semien, I mean, you'd see a handful, probably the entire team walking down the street. You wouldn't be able to recognize any of them on this A's team. Some of these names, I'm sure, in this starting lineup, you ask the casual fan, they have no clue who you're talking about. I'd say even like a bit of a diehard fan. Because, I mean, it's not like Oakland is really in the media too much. But another thing that's helped with Oakland is the fact that Jeremy Familia, Mike Fiers have done well as pitchers. I mean, those were two hits on the trade deadline. So we'll see what ends up happening with them. But let's check out the rest of the scores from last night. I know we had a bunch of games going on. I think we had the Yankees playing last night also, and Aroldis Chapman left after 6 pitches. Obviously, not great there. But you look at it, the Nationals beat the Phillies 10-4. Braves beat the Pirates 6-1. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 8-2. Like I said, Indians beat the Red Sox 6-3. Tigers, they beat the Cubs 2-1. Mets beat the Giants 6-3. Yankees won in 12 innings against the Marlins. Excuse me, won that one 2-1. You had the Rays beating the Royals 4-1. Reds beating the Brewers 9-7. Twins beating the Red Sox 5-2. Padres beat the Rockies 4-3. Diamondbacks beat the Angels 5-4. Extend that AL or NL West lead a bit. Cardinals, one of the hottest teams in baseball right now, beat the Dodgers 5-2. I'm not really sure what's going on with the Dodgers, but they are absolutely in a slump. Like I said, A's beat the Rangers 6-0. And the Astros did well to beat the Mariners yesterday, winning 3-2. So the AL West standings still, with Oakland and the Astros at the top. So let's check it out. See if the Yankees gain ground. They did. They're currently 8 games back of the Red Sox. Indians 13 up on the Twins. Astros and A's, like I said, tied for first. Mariners 4.5 games back. In the NL East, you got the Braves up 2 games on the Phillies. Cubs up 2.5 on the Cardinals. 3 up on the Brewers. Brewers have always been the second place team this season, but I mean, the Cardinals are making their way back. Diamondbacks 1.5 up on the Rockies. And 3.5 up on the Dodgers. Dodgers currently trending down right now. Lost 2 in a row and 3 of their last set, or 3 out of their last 10. The 3-7 in their last 10, excuse me. So you look at the wild card races. Right now, Yankees up 3.5 games on both the Astros and A's, depending on who ends up getting that second wild card spot. Mariners, like I said, 4.5 games back for that second spot. Cardinals currently maintain the top spot in the NL wild card. Half game up on the Brewers. Brewers are half game up on the Phillies, also the Rockies, and then 2.5 up on the Dodgers. Cardinals are going to make the playoffs. I think that might be a lock, and it seems like the Cardinals are going to be one of those teams you don't really want to play trying to get to the World Series. So we'll see what happens, but either way, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about some NFL stuff, so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, so I could be onto something here, or I might just be overthinking some things. So I was thinking about it this morning, looking at the Vikings, and they finished, what, as the second seed in the NFC last season, I think? Yeah. So they played the divisional round against the Saints. Vikings didn't necessarily play so well in that game. I think we tend to forget that the Vikings made it to the NFC Championship game on a fluke play. I mean, if the safety gets there and times his run there perfectly, then Stephon Diggs doesn't go anywhere else. So, I mean, the Vikings got to the NFC Championship in a fluke, off a fluke. And you look at the NFC Championship game, they got absolutely blown out. Offense was terrible, defense was awful, nothing went well. So I guess what I'm trying to get at here is, could the Vikings possibly be a little overrated, honestly? I mean, I was looking at their schedule from last year. They had a couple of big wins. I mean, they beat New Orleans. They beat LA, the Rams. They beat the Falcons. Not necessarily a great game, but nonetheless, they beat them. But a lot of their wins came against bad teams. Tampa Bay was awful last season. Chicago beat them twice. They were awful. Played Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. Played a Baltimore team that was pretty bad last season. Cleveland didn't win a game. Washington wasn't necessarily anything to write home about. They lost to Carolina. Beat a bad Cincinnati team. And I'm not trying to discredit them. All I'm saying is they're good, but how good are they actually? Because, I mean, you look at it, and a lot of their success was credited to Pat Shurmur. No one was expecting Case Keenum to come out and play the way that he did. Why? Because he never has played that way before. And I've been talking up Minnesota all season long. This isn't like something where I have something against the Vikings. It's not that at all. I've constantly said that they're a top four team in the NFL. But I mean, you look at last season, they didn't necessarily beat the best teams. That's not necessarily their fault because you got to play the guys in front of you. Playoffs, they didn't really look too good. Like I said, one off a fluke and then got blown out. Yes, it was the Super Bowl eventual champions. But I mean, to lose 38-7, really? Come on now. And I mean, you look at their schedule this season. San Francisco is going to be tough, but I think they'll beat them since it's at home. You got to play Green Bay week 2 in Green Bay. Actually, let's go through the schedule and we'll predict it. So they got San Francisco week 1 at home. I'll go 1-0. In Green Bay week 2, 1-1 versus Buffalo, 2-1 versus the Rams in LA. I'll go with the Rams there, 2-2. Then they're in Philly, week 5, 2-3. Versus Arizona, 3-3. In New York, 4-3. Versus New Orleans, I'll go 4-4. Versus Detroit, 5-4. I'm going to say they split with Chicago. Actually, do they split with Chicago? They might actually just sweep them. I like Chicago, but I'm not sure if they're ready yet to compete with a team like the Vikings. I'll give them that. So what did I have them at right now? I think I had them at, let's see, San Francisco win, Green Bay lost. It's 1-1, 2-1, 2-3, 3-3, 4-3, 4-4, 5-4. So at Chicago week 11, I'll give them the win. That's 6-4 versus Green Bay. I'll say Green Bay, I'll go 7-4 there. At New England, 7-5. At Seattle, 8-5 versus Miami, 9-5. At Detroit, I'll go 9-6. Versus Chicago. So I got them going 10-6, I guess. That'd be a drop off compared to last year. But I don't necessarily think that they're like a bad team or anything like that. I just think that maybe we got to look deeper beneath the surface with this team. Because, I mean, they got talent, but you got Dalvin Cook coming back. Supposedly he's looking good in practice, hasn't really played yet at all. I mean, you can't really say it's a given that he's going to be playing well coming off of an ACL injury. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, good wideouts. Defense, that game against the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, I think, is what scares me here. I mean, they did sign Ioka, George Ioka, from Cincinnati since they cut him. That's a plus there. And I think, like I said, I don't think Minnesota's a bad team. I mean, looking at it right now, comparing them to the teams in the NFC, I would take Philly over them. The Rams, it's debatable between them and the Saints. So yeah, I guess I still do have them being a top five team in the league, but it's just, I don't know, it's just something about them I just don't trust right now. I don't want to call them frauds or anything like that, but like I said, maybe they're not as good as we suspect. I could be wrong. They could end up being the best team in the league. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibilities. It's just there's something about this team that I don't trust. And last year's playoffs really, really are what put me over there. I mean, like I said, that Saints team was one of the best last season. Looked like the Vikings were done. And you're telling me that on a last-second play, they deserve to win that game? Come on now. Case Keenum didn't even play well there. And you had the feeling you get blown out. Like I said, one of the things that's kind of scaring me about this team, too, is Pat Shurmur. I mean, how do we know that this offense is going to look as good as last year without him? Can't say that. I think Mike Zimmer's a very good head coach, but like I said, I'm worried about the offense here. So it'll be interesting to see, and I mean, they're playing in a much improved division also. I think I got them sweeping Detroit. Actually, I got them splitting with Detroit. I got them getting swept by Green Bay and then sweeping the Bears. But, I mean, they very well could split with Chicago. They could get swept by Green Bay. And I think Detroit, them sweeping with Detroit, I think it's a decent call right there. Detroit's going to have a much improved team. I like their team. I like Stafford. I think he's a top five quarterback. I like Kerryon Johnson. I think he's going to be a solid rookie for that team. I like the defense. Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, Kenny Golladay, one of the best receiving corps. I'm just curious to see if Matt Patricia could bring that stability to this organization. I think that's what they've been missing. Just a no-nonsense coach who basically, they need that Patriots-type culture there. I mean, basically all we do here is play football and that's that. So, we'll see how Detroit does. Oh, Kenny Britt just got cut. Just got that notification right now. I mean, he's been struggling in training camp. They got to sign Dez Bryant. There's no way the Patriots don't bring on Dez Bryant. I mean, you absolutely have to. You look at it, and who do you have on that roster? You can't be comfortable with who you currently got. There's absolutely no way. I mean, let's take a look at it minus Kenny Britt now. And Kenny Britt wasn't even that great to begin with. But, I mean, you're four games without Edelman. You got Braxton Berrios, who's a rookie. Eric Decker, who's old. Philip Dorsett, who's just fast. Chris Hogan is decent, I'd say that. But other than that, you have Cordell Patterson, who's been a kick returner. Basically a primary kick returner and punt returner his entire career, not really known for his receiving skills. You have to bring on Dez Bryant. There's absolutely no way you don't. I mean, I get it, Tom Brady's one of the best to ever do it, but you got to give that guy something to throw to. Right? I mean, the Patriots have always had a decent receiver, not great or anything like that, but at least something Tom Brady can work with. I'm not sure how comfortable they'd feel with Julian Edelman as the number one. Not saying he's bad or anything like that, but I think of him more as like a slot guy or number two. We'll see though, but I figure, I mean, they're cutting more receivers than they're bringing on. Dez Bryant's got to be on their mind, so we'll see what ends up happening there. But either way, we're going to move on to the NBA next. Also going to talk about Kobe for a bit, so stay tuned and I'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked about the Red Sox, talked a bit about the Indians, and also the A's. Last segment, we talked a lot about the Vikings and mentioned that the Patriots cut Kenny Britt. I mean, that team needs talent at the wide receiver position. I could care less that Tom Brady's their quarterback. That dude can't make wine or water out of wine or anything like that. He's a human. He needs some talent. So, we'll see what the Patriots end up doing, but I mean, we saw them trade for Randy Moss or pick up Randy Moss when he didn't seem like much of a great teammate over in Oakland. And man, Randy Moss with the Raiders is absolutely terrible. But we'll see what they end up doing. But we're looking at it now, heading over to the NBA. Looking like Manu Ginobili might retire. Seriously considering it. Now, Manu Ginobili retiring from the Spurs isn't something that's going to hurt the team. Let's not be ridiculous here. Manu leaves the Spurs. Nothing happens. Maybe they get a tiny bit better. As harsh as that may sound, but I mean, the guy's old. He's washed up. Had a great career. Definitely a Hall of Famer. But I think it is time for him to retire. I think this is all just a pretty much an end of an era type of thing. Tony Parker's gone. Tim Duncan retired a couple years ago. Manu looks like he's ready to retire. Kawhi's not even there anymore. I mean, this is a completely different Spurs team here. It's honestly kind of crazy. I think we all figured that Kawhi was going to be a Spur for life, or at least something to that extent. I mean, we all figured Kawhi was this young, shy, humble guy who just wanted to play basketball. Spurs seemed like the perfect destination for him there because that's all the Spurs seemed to do, is just play basketball and keep quiet. Obviously, that wasn't necessarily the case. And I mean, you're looking at their team right now. You got Bellinelli, Aldridge, Burtons, DeRozan, Brian Forbes, Pau Gasol still there, Rudy Gay. Let's see, Patty Mills, Deontay Murray, Jacob Poeltl. Going to be curious to see how he ends up doing. Drafted Lonnie Walker this season. Lonnie Walker could be a little bit of a surprise for the Spurs. Not for the Spurs, but for the NBA. I think Lonnie Walker might be a bit decent with Greg Popovich. But, I mean, you're looking at the team right now. Aldridge is 33. Bellinelli's 32. DeRozan's 29. Powell's 38. Rudy Gay's 32. They've got a real old team. Patty Mills is already 30. Feels like Patty Mills has been in the league for only a few years. They got some young guys, but a lot of their core players are basically about to hit the back end of their career. Marcus Aldridge played well last season. I do think that this Spurs team can make the playoffs in the West, but it'd be as an 8th seed, I think, at best. I mean, you're looking at the West right now. Obviously, we know where the Warriors stand. Actually, let's go through and see in the West which teams I see for sure making the playoffs. The Warriors, the Lakers, Rockets, and Utah. Probably Oklahoma City. I'd say those are my locks to make the playoffs in the West. I'd say those are probably the top five teams in the West, to be honest. Yeah. So there's 6, 7, and 8 left. Fighting for 6, 7, and 8, Denver, Minnesota, Portland, New Orleans. I'd say Dallas. I like Dallas a lot. I mean, you got Dennis Smith Jr. coming into his second year. Had a decent rookie season, I'd say. Drafted Luka Doncic. Harrison Barnes, extremely underrated. Been a near 20-point per game score last two seasons with them. Averaged about 6 rebounds. I think he shot last season 45% from the field. You got Barnes there. Dirk obviously isn't what he used to be, but Dirk can still contribute. And then they brought on DeAndre Jordan. That's going to be a decent team. So like I said, Minnesota, Portland, Denver, Dallas, New Orleans. And then you got San Antonio. Maybe Phoenix, possibly. I mean, Phoenix does have, they got some names there, that's it. But that's basically 6 teams legitimately competing for the last 3 spots. If I had to pick, it'd be Minnesota getting it also. I mean, last season they were a 3 seed up until Jimmy Butler got hurt. Once Jimmy Butler missed the last part of the season, last month and a half or whatnot, they started a trend down. Portland, I'm never sure what to think of Portland. I'm sure Denver's going to be a lot better this season, so that's going to be tough. And like I said, I really like Dallas. That's kind of my sleeper team here. I'm not expecting them to go deep in the playoffs or anything like that. If they get in, it'll probably be as a 7 or 8 seed. So with that, chances are they'll get knocked out in the first round, but they're going to be much improved. So I guess we'll see if DeMar DeRozan can lead a team out in San Antonio in a very much stacked West. I mean, let's compare. Let's say you put the Spurs in the East, all right? The Locks, I'd say, to make the playoffs in the East, Boston, Indiana, Milwaukee, Philly, Toronto. So again, my top five teams right there. That leaves three spots. Miami competing for a spot. Washington. Dare I say it, Detroit. The Spurs would have a much better chance if they played out East, but they don't. So it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing this season, how well they play, what Greg Popovich can draw up in order to put them in positions to win. But like I said, it's becoming the end of an era. No more Duncan, no more Kawhi, no more Parker, no more Manu. We'll see what Greg Popovich can do with these new guys. And the Spurs are basically a ragtag team. Like, it's just, I don't know, I never thought I'd see, like, it's just weird seeing the group of guys right there all together on the same team. It's like kind of like a misfit type team there. But anyway, there's been some Kobe Bryant return rumors. Not to the NBA, but to the Big 3 League. In the Big 3 League, I don't really watch it too often, but it is entertaining at times. Remember at the beginning of their season, Nate Robinson was getting in all kinds of fights and all that, but the co-founder of the league said that Kobe Bryant would be coming to play next season. And Kobe Bryant playing in the Big 3 I don't think he needs to. I mean, I guess there's a point of maybe if you love the game, but I mean, would you really want to travel all over the country still? Where you can stay at home and make enough money there? And Jeff Quantinets is the one who said that Kobe Bryant is going to be playing. Like I said, the co-founder. That has been denied, but Kobe Bryant hasn't denied it himself. So I'm not sure what to believe here. And that got me thinking, Kobe plays in the Big 3. What would an NBA return look like? And those rumors kind of came up this offseason at a point where, I mean, there was nothing happening. You don't want to see Kobe Bryant in the NBA. Kobe Bryant left the league with that insane game against the Jazz. All right, I won't even bring up the fact about how he took 60 shots or 50 shots and he needed that to get 60 points. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to applaud Kobe for getting those 60 points. But, I mean, what? Kobe's like 41? The dude's old. Father Time catches up to everyone. And, I mean, he's dealt with Achilles injuries and all that. Like I said, I don't think anyone besides Laker fans want to see Kobe in the NBA again. And he's currently 39, so he'd be 40 if he came back, but I think Kobe's already, like, it's not going to happen, but it is something fun to talk about. I mean, Jeannie Buss has made comments about it. Shaq said Kobe was coming back. But, I mean, Kobe comes back to the Lakers. Let's be real here. At this point in Kobe's age and all that, with the injuries he's had, and let's not forget that last season. Need I remind you, averaged the lowest point total since his second year in the league. He shot 28% from three. 35 from the field. That was Kobe's last season. Kobe wouldn't even be better than Kyle Kuzma coming back. I mean, if we're being real, he wouldn't be better than Ingram. Wouldn't be better than Lonzo. I think the game's passed Kobe up. Dare I say it. I know Lakers fans think that's blasphemous, but Kobe's already enjoyed a nice NBA career. I think he's enjoyed a nice basketball career. There's no point in the guy coming back to the Big 3 or the NBA, which NBA won't happen, I'm assuming, but the Big 3, there's rumors about that. If I'm Kobe, I'm just sitting at home, making my movies, and making my money. I mean, the dude's making money off body armor, too. Definite Hall of Famer. Just leave it at that. Manu also a Hall of Famer. Manu is a career 13.3 rebound, 4 assists guy, but two-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA, four-time NBA champ, made the All-Rookie team and won the Sixth Man of the Year award in 2007. Not necessarily difficult to get into the NBA Basketball Hall of Fame, but I'd say Manu deserves to get in there. So that's all I got to say about that. Just wanted to talk about those two topics here. Next up, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports, so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
To the GSMC Sports Podcast. So, Urban Meyer, like the decision with him was supposed to be handed out today, but it seems that they're still meeting. We've been meeting for more than 7 hours, and Urban Meyer just so happens to be at that meeting. I'm not sure why Urban Meyer is there. I don't get that at all. Why invite Urban Meyer to the meeting where you're going to decide what you're going to do with him? Isn't the whole point of this meeting to go over all the stuff they found through the investigation? What does Urban Meyer need to be there for? I don't get that. I haven't got pretty much anything Ohio State has done from this little process. It's been kind of weird, actually. But, I mean, they're not going to be firing him. That's not happening. I called it at pretty much the beginning of all this. I said that they'd probably suspend him. And basically, look at you guys. We punished Urban Meyer. See? Great. We're done. So, I think that's what might happen. The Board of Trustees, I guess, doesn't want to suspend him. They just want to reinstate him. And this is according to David Biddle. Works for the CBS Network. Covers the Ohio State there. So he said the Board of Trustees, they want to reinstate him. But the university president, Michael Drake, wants Meyer to serve a suspension. And like I said, Urban Meyer is there. And Urban Meyer is basically fighting against that because he says he basically thinks he did nothing wrong. I mean, at this point, either suspend the guy or don't. Obviously, you're not firing him. So, I think this probably ends with a suspension. But it's a bit ridiculous how they invited him to this meeting. Like, there's no reason for Urban Meyer to be there. I don't think Urban Meyer should play a part in what Ohio State decides as far as his future. He's a coach. He's not one of the higher-ups. And people keep comparing him to Jim Tressel, but, I mean, let's be real here. Jim Tressel's an Ohio legend. Urban Meyer's a national legend amongst coaches. I mean, come on now. I get that Jim Tressel's from Ohio and all that, but, oh well. He's not as big as Urban Meyer. Maybe in Ohio he might be. But nationally, no. So I think that's where we stop comparing him to Jim Tressel. But either way, like I said, this whole situation's been a mess. It's honestly been kind of embarrassing for that school. I mean, I don't know, like I said, it's all been ridiculous there. So we'll see what they end up doing. I mean, it seems like they've taken way too long on this whole decision. Figured it'd be something that they should have decided a while ago. Again, Urban Meyer shouldn't be there, but is. So I guess he has a say in what happens with his future. Like I said, this is all a bit embarrassing for Ohio State. But let's see what else is going on in the world of sports. Saquon Barkley, back at practice. Might not play the rest of the preseason. Still trying to deal with that hamstring injury. That's not good right there. You never want your rookie, especially a running back, dealing with a hamstring injury. Why? Because all the dude does is run. And once you get a hamstring injury, it's not like that ever goes away. That's always something that you could tweak whenever. So, not necessarily great. And I'm sure that the Giants aren't too happy about the fact that Barkley probably won't be ready to play until the opener. But I mean, he had that one run, though. He's a monster. He had that one run for 39 yards. Get the fact that he only ran the ball three times after that for 4 yards, but he had that one run. And I'm not trying to hate on Saquon Barkley, but you guys do hype him up a lot. So, there's that. I mean, we already talked about the NBA. No one has any clue whatsoever whether or not Kobe's going to be playing in the Big Three League. We're going to look over to soccer. So, the people who run La Liga, Spanish League in Spain, want to start having their regular season matches, maybe one, in the United States. Why? There's money to be made there. Players aren't too happy about it, though. And I get it. I mean, it's kind of like the same thing with the NFL players going to London. You hear every NFL player talk about playing in London. They hate it. I mean, the time change, it's all in a week. It's ridiculous. And same thing with these La Liga players. I'm sure they don't want to travel mid-season to the United States to go play. I mean, why would you? You live in Spain. Now you got to spend a whole week out in the United States. Time change and everything. I just don't think it would work well. So, seems like the players could strike over it. I have no problem with that. I don't need to see La Liga over here in the United States. And I saw people saying, oh, what about for the people who can't travel over to Spain to watch them? That's who will. I can't either. So I watch them on TV. You want to watch those teams? Either, I guess, get a ticket, watch them on your TV, or come watch them during the summer when they travel to the U.S. There's no reason to put La Liga matches over in the U.S. There's no reason whatsoever. Obviously, I guess the only reason would be money. But right now, soccer is not like these sports in the U.S., like football, basketball, MLB, or anything like that. It's not, it's starting to, but it's still got this kind of mentality around it that you're playing it for the love of the game, not for the money. China has tried to take that away, the Chinese League, Super Chinese League. They're offering out humongous contracts. And it seems like everything that these clubs are doing, more so the owners, is all money motivated now. So it seems that the game of soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, is moving towards becoming more of a money-making machine rather than playing for the love of the game. So I guess that's where we get these let's play La Liga matches over in the U.S. But I'm not sure how. Like, I don't think it needs to be. I wouldn't lose sweat if they came or didn't come. If they were to come to like San Francisco play at Levi, I'd probably go. But I'm not really worried about it. So I think they're just fine staying over in Spain, playing there. And like I said, you want to come watch them live? Come watch them when they come down in the summer for that summer tour. Or you could support your local MLS team. I guess my local MLS team would be the Earthquakes, but they're pretty terrible right now. Waiting for Sacramento Republic FC to become big time and become MLS, but it doesn't seem like that's happening soon. So we'll see about all that. Like I said, players could strike. I think each captain from the 20 teams met with the board for La Liga. So obviously no one's too happy about it. Let's see anything else going on before we wrap it up. I mean, nothing else really going on. Like I said, though, if the Patriots are smart, they'd bring on Dez Bryant. And I think that might be what the plan is. Dez Bryant has already said that. I think Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Like he said that last week or this past week. So obviously Dez Bryant has some interest in the Patriots. But we'll see what ends up happening there. Tiger Woods told people that he thought he was done, meaning pretty much not golfing anymore after 2017 Masters. It's a lot later than I thought he was done, if we're being honest here. I mean, Tiger, yeah, was great. His peak was amazing. But, I mean, the dude looked terrible. Absolutely terrible since that incident. I mean, I thought Tiger was done back in 2012. Thought he was done in 2013. Thought he was done in 2014. Thought he was done in 2015. Thought he was done in 2016. Thought he was done in 2017. And when I say done, I mean the dude's not winning another major. I mean, Tiger, broken or not, could always come out and swing a golf club. But we'll see. I mean, I think his next major is, what, 8 months? I think something like that. Came close on a couple this year. Francisco Molinari, though. I mean, dude was a beast. And then Brooks Koepka, I think, is the one who beat Tiger in the PGA Championship. I mean, if Tiger was back, he would have won, wouldn't he? Nah, but Tiger, this was a good year of golf for Tiger, even though he didn't win yet again another tournament. So, I think that'll change next year. You'll be more healthy. He's changed up a lot about his swing. And it's one that doesn't really take a toll on his back or anything like that. So, we'll see if this new generation or this new era of Tiger Woods can win a couple majors. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, Tiger's good for golf. Tiger is golf, honestly. I'm sure other golfers hate hearing that, but they got to realize that's the truth. Tiger Woods is golf. So, we'll see what happens. But either way, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here for today. Today we talked MLB. The Minnesota Vikings, talked about them. Talked about Kobe Bryant, Manu Ginobili, and then for this segment, talked about a few different topics. So, thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.